both domestic and foreign policy issues are being helped along by George Soros as the email leaks continue to give us insight into what has been driving our immigration and domestic policies here in the U.S. And it's no surprise that one name that pops up is George Soros, from $650,000 in support to Black Lives Matter to loading Europe and America with immigrants through a refugee crisis. And that's something we talked about in earlier shows today, you can find on the New American, Germany's secret night refugee flights. Is Merkel lying again? German Chancellor Angela Merkel's government has been flying massive numbers of Muslim refugees into German airports and military bases on secret night flights.
Yes.
That is the charge in a sensational story by German writer last week in the German publication, German newspaper. The spokesman for the German government has been denying these stories, stating they're completely false. However, Chancellor Merkel's credibility on this issue is almost non-existent, as she has been caught repeatedly lying, covering up, and deceiving the public on migration and refugee matters.
That's right. And these people, see, it's the balkanization of the countries. As Michael Savage says, borders, language, and culture, three elements that define a nation. And we are being assaulted here by the same thing. Obama has an objective to bring in as many Muslims as possible. What did you just say? 3,800 from Syria were brought in mid-year. 23 were Christian, or just an incredibly small number were Christian.
Like 3,000.
Yeah, we'll say
726, and out of those, 23 were Christian.
Yeah, So this is what's taking place, not just in Europe, but here in the United States. This is Obama's America. This is why we fought so hard to expose Obama back in 2007, when you had the establishment Republicans kick back and say, oh, no, you can't do this. You've got to really, you know, you got to stick to the issues. You can't be viewed as crazy or kooky or conspiracy nuts. And you know, a lot of people buckled under that pressure. Where's the Tea Party right now? The Tea Party is non-existent. It is functioning only as a shell, a corporate shell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so understand that. Now, folks, we care about our audience, and this, we're doing this as a public service to you. Now, this is not, none of this has been rehearsed. We got a call over the weekend. I couldn't find my note with the phone number on it, but we had a couple of people that sent us numbers before, and one number that had two that we got twice. It's a 646 number. So in our effort to protect you, our audience, from scammers, because see, we got one of these calls here at the studio over the weekend saying that if we didn't call this number, and they gave us a number, if we didn't call this number, that we were going to jail. Possibly. There was a warrant going to be out for, you know, for our arrest from, and they identified themselves as Treasury agents of the U.S. Treasury. So, we'll go off to the bat phone. We're going to call the number for the that they left this. Now, this is not the one that came to the studio. This is one that someone sent to us. Gosh, I hope this is on the level. If I get somebody's grandmother, I'm gonna be upset. But anyway, we're gonna call the agents of the U.S. Treasury at the number supplied here, because we want to be protective of you. Now, yeah, we did clear this through our attorneys, so those people who are just foaming at the mouth, ready to sue us, don't worry. We got it. Just hang loose. So, let's do this. All right. And the number is, and I'm going to publicly state it over the air, 646-367-1947. I did not call this beforehand.
Yeah.
Let's see what we get here.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
All right. Well, the Treasury Department, again, must be having trouble paying their bills. Again, I'll have to find that little orange note that I had in my office.
So what happens when you call the number back you're supposed to call? And you get that?
Well, that...
I mean, are you still...
That's an old number.
See, are you still going to be held accountable?
Probably. Unless you give your credit card over the phone, which I'm sure, you know, we'll get to at some point, but we're gonna get to this at some point, because we do, one of these days, we are going to find we're going to have somebody answer that phone. We're going to be able to get through and have somebody answer that phone and expose these people for what they are. And I'll say this, okay, these people have bilked American consumers out of, I think, $28 million in fiscal year 2016, in calendar year 2015. Excuse me on that, 2015. So if you think, oh, you'd have to be a fool to fall for this stuff, well,
they'll threaten with jail, and
you know, the numbers speak for themselves. So,
what do you what's your take on the Pew Research Center?
Pew. Well, I
got a report there. It says nearly half of refugees entering the U.S. this year are Muslim, and it goes through some statistics.
Mean nearly half.
Yeah, no. If you got to read
legally
it,
or illegally. I mean, because you got to really.
The U.S. has received 28,957 Muslim refugees this so far the fiscal year 2016. Nearly 46% of those or more are Muslims.
Well, okay, I'm sure those are the ones that
this
are
is using
coming in legally.
The data from the State Department's refugee right. process.
Oh, the
so
refugees.
There it is.
Okay, so.
So that means this year the U.S. has admitted the highest number of Muslim refugees of any year since 2002. They say Christians are the second largest group of refugees in the U.S. So far this year, 27,556 Christian refugees have entered the country, nearly as many as the number of Muslim refugees.
Well, why should we believe the State Department, who's supplying the figures to the Pew Research Center? Why should we believe the State Department, the same State Department who's covered for Hillary, Diane Rodham, the Act Clinton? Why? We shouldn't.
No.
We can't.
No, this is a new article that just was posted, so... going through the numbers, and we've seen how it's like the job numbers, you know, they can try to report, that, you know, the unemployment rate is down to 5% or whatever when we know it's at almost historic highs, just like, the president says he cuts the national debt in half when the debt's never been higher in any time in history. We're on the brink of $20 trillion. It is just all lies and manipulation and the twisting of facts.
So,
but if we look at the back to the refugee invasion in Germany, where the Merkel and her government has become notorious for deception, and it goes on to state in this article is the major reason why polls show the once popular Merkel is now widely reviled, not only in Germany but throughout Europe, and they give examples of her deception, and one is the refugee invasion. As a prelude to the 2015 refugee disaster, the German people were told that a total number of refugees would be around 100,000. That total was revised to 250,000, 350,000, and by August of 2015, officials bumped it up to 750,000, and by the end of that year, it was almost between 1 million and 1.5 million. And the government was forced to admit that over 130,000 refugees slipped away and are now unaccounted for in Germany. The crime cover-up of the refugees. Under Merkel, German police authorities and the German media have engaged in a massive campaign of self-censorship and news suppression to hide the fact of the huge level of violent crime increasing, as well as sexual crimes committed by Muslim immigrants. The collusion was forced to open with the infamous mass rape / sexual assault wave Germany on the New Year's Eve of 2016, and then it lists a few others, the Bear Exit sabotage, the EU superstate, in an effort to defeat the Bear Exit referendum, was spearheaded by Merkel, intended to turn the EU into a...
Well, these are globalists, and we've talked about this. These are globalists. These are people who want to destroy the fabric and culture of the country, of Germany. And the biggest of this is Angela Merkel, however you want to pronounce her first name. But I believe that she is the illegitimate... And you might laugh when I say this, but I believe that she is the illegitimate offspring of Adolf Hitler. Yeah, well, you laugh, but I can hear you just... belly laughing there, but if you think about it, and if you do some research on it, that's not too far off. I don't believe it's not too far off the mark. But there is a method to this. Now, okay, so what Merkel is doing to the EU, you've got Obama and company doing to the United States.
Right. But, and just to close out on Merkel, sure. This reporter is calling the rush hour for refugees as airplanes from Turkey and Greece land almost every minute during the middle of night hours, bringing in Muslims from different parts of Turkey and Greece, and they say that Angela Merkel is denying that this is
the relocation program.
Yeah, and they say no wonder tourism is down and destroyed due to many terrorist attacks. At night, however, there are no fewer than 11 flights that bring in Muslim refugees under the cover of darkness.
Right.
Well, and if we look and see what's happening there, I'm sure it's happening here on some levels.
Well, okay, which brings me to, again, Clinton and her campaign announced this past week that they would be recruiting so-called Dreamers, undocumented immigrants who were brought to this country as children to help out with the campaign. Now, since Dreamers, and this, the Christian Science Monitor talked about this, but think about this, because you talk about something diabolical. This, to me, is a diabolical way of handling this. Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch, the act Clinton, is doing what she's doing here. Dreamers, they're not allowed to vote, but and where does the name Dreamer come from? What does that stand for? It comes from the so-called Dream Act, which is a legislative initiative that was my goodness, how many times was it introduced in various forms since it was first proposed back in 2001? It went through numerous iterations. But DREAM stands for, get this now, Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors. That's the DREAM Act. Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors. And each version, each iteration of this legislation that was introduced had changed in details. All versions of the act would provide, however, this rapid path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants brought to the country as children as long as certain qualifications were met. Now, are met. Now, the DREAM Act failed to pass Congress many, many, many times, but the Dreamers have become increasingly important in American politics, especially to the likes of the Yak, or Clinton. To what? 3 years? 2012, Obama announced the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, D-A-C-A, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Now, you got to know these acronyms. It would be well to scratch out some notes, not from our program, but know what these acronyms stand for. Know what these names stand for. Now, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, what this did, it temporarily stayed, it halted the deportation of undocumented immigrants who arrived in the United States as children. The DACA policy was largely the result of advocacy from Dreamers themselves after federal Dream legislation failed to gain traction. So you have this movement building within the United States by people who don't even belong in the United States that are here illegally, now being conscripted by the Hillary Clinton campaign. But even before that, as of March of last year, there were about 665,000 individuals who had been granted two-year work permits and exemption from deportation. That's a nice number, 665,000 illegals in this country granting two-year work permits and promises exemption from deportation. Meanwhile, the American population, indigenous to America, and don't even start. You say indigenous to America. Well, we're all immigrants. Okay, don't go there because you're going to lose that argument. But now you have 665,000 individuals in the workplace. And attempts by Obama to even expand this further in 2014 were blocked in federal court by 26 states who filed to stop that. You might remember that back last year. Now, Hillary's campaign, what she is doing, and what she wants to do, she wants to tap into the DREAM Act, she wants to tap into Dreamers, I should say, in her campaign against Trump. And the Democratic nominee, the Yak, seeks to empower Dreamers to organize and engage their communities. They can't vote, but they can organize, they can engage, and secure commitments to vote for their future in November. This according to the Clinton campaign today and throughout this past week or so. The program in English is called My Dream, Your Vote. I'm not going to give you the Spanish version because I am not a Spanish, or I'm not from Mexico or any other Spanish-speaking country. This is America. I'm going to give it to you in English. My Dream, Your Vote. That's what the initiative is called. And the aim is to get Dreamers to encourage others to register to vote for the Yak, for Hillary Rodham, the Yak, the Witch Clinton, on the basis of her immigration policy. So you see that the functional genius, evil genius of this. Well, look, you're in this country, you can't really vote, but here's what you can do to help us. Because when I get in office, I'm going to make sure you are a member of our society. I'm going to ask you to help me help others register to vote. Yeah, this is all good. The program launch coincides with the 4-year anniversary of the implementation of DACA, which Clinton said she was going to extend in addition to expanding the rights of undocumented immigrants and immigration. Think about this. Oh, and she says, oh, Dreamers, they play a great big role, man, in a very crucial role in our campaign. Advocating for families who constantly live in fear of deportation. You tell me one family who lives in fear of deportation. Seriously? Are there any families out there call us up if you're living in fear of deportation. I don't know any families that are living in fear. I don't know. So, the Clinton campaign and their evil genius is actually doing this, and now, Trump, on the other hand, he promised to build a wall between the U.S. and the Mexican border, on the U.S.-Mexican border, and deport all 11 million people living in this country illegally. Look, I volunteered to drive the bus. One of the buses. I know Eric will drive one. Joe will drive one. How about you?
Switching gears here. Got some interesting stories. There is Obama is speeding up transfers of Guantanamo detainees being released, as 15 Guantanamo detainees are going to be released to the United Arab Emirates, one of the biggest release of detainees since Obama has taken office. And the administration is facing renewed accusations from lawmakers of putting national security at risk following the release of 15 more Guantanamo detainees, including former Osama bin Laden bodyguards and al-Qaeda bomb experts, as the Pentagon works to fulfill the president's vow to shutter the camp by the end of his term. It's reckless for the administration to continue to release terrorists like these to fulfill a misguided campaign promise to empty and close Guantanamo, that from Senator Kelly out of New Hampshire, Republican from New Hampshire. The newly announced transfer of 15 detainees, 12 Yemen and 3 Afghans, to the United Arab Emirates marks the single largest release under this administration, with 5 months remaining in the president's term. The transfer is the latest effort to shrink the prison camp's population as part of the president's goal to shutter the facility. So they're releasing former Osama bin Laden bodyguards and bomb makers from Guantanamo Bay.
Sure. And as well they should, along with anyone else, because
they're in this latest batch of Clinton emails. They show a further connection between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation. This time, a conservative organization, Judicial Watch, has released 296 pages from the private server of Clinton, which include inappropriate ties between the State Department and Clinton Foundation. Clinton's top aides, favors for, and interactions with the Clinton Foundation seem in violation of the ethics agreement that Hillary Clinton agreed to in order to be appointed and confirmed as Secretary of State, the group advised. The dirt on Hillary continues to pile up, with the release of the documents being just the latest in a string of email dumps. The group also alleges that as many as 44 of the emails released were not turned over to the State Department, by the Clinton camp during the federal investigation. That was important news today. Also, there was other news about the email links, which the FBI apparently sent over its notes to Congress.
Yeah.
As Congress is looking at perjury charges on Clinton, is being reported.
That'll happen. That'll happen.
Yeah.
But
the FBI did not let the State Department see the notes from the Clinton interview, and it provided them to Congress instead with a batch of classified documents from its year-long investigation of the Democratic nominee. And that reporter paragraph alone should be enough for perjury charges, where Hillary Clinton said under oath that she did not erase or use classified information on her private email server. How is it then that those same emails are deemed classified documents as they're being transferred from FBI to State Department?
She's going to...
I mean, it makes no sense.
In a closer look, and some this to me is an extremely important issue. If we could take a closer look at something here, I think, folks, please pay attention to this. In this segment coming up, in a closer look, this is critical. How many people saw what the Muslim mayor of London is doing? What he has set up, Khan?
The punishing of online trolls, in his own words, commentators?
Well, that's right. Here's what's taking place in London, and we have to pay very close attention to this, because here's the problem. It's coming to America. The office of London's first Muslim mayor, what he did was he gathered up millions of dollars, actually millions of pounds. And they're funding this online hate crime hub in conjunction and work in perfect partnership with social media providers to criminalize anyone who targets individuals and communities. All right? Now, think about this. Let's think this through. You've got this Muslim mayor. Don't you dare say anything about their prophet Muhammad. Don't you dare say anything about the Muslim refugees in London. Don't say anything about the rapes in Sweden. Don't say anything about Muhammad being a pedophile. Don't say anything about Brexit. Don't say anything about, anything that would violate the thought police, their sensibilities. Because the London mayor's office, they're watching for your comments, and they're going to spend, what is it, nearly $1.5 million or £1 million of tax, $2 million U.S. dollars of taxpayers' money policing speech online after getting a grant from Home Office Police Innovation Fund. Now, the purpose of this program is to strengthen the police and community response to this growing crime type. This is Orwellian in nature, truly. And this, the implementation of this is by a dedicated police team backed by volunteers. And once more, it's important to note that the measures will be delivered in this partnership with social media providers, who, along with specialist officers, will be filtering, will be watching, will be going on the chat rooms, will be watching the comments section on the mail, the Daily Mail online. And all of this, and even Facebook and Twitter, and working in conjunction with Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Our days are numbered, folks. If you're a conservative Christian, our days on these venues are numbered. Because you won't be able to say anything that violates the Islamic ideological sensibilities or whatever.
Did you see this Sally Cohen or Khan?
Khan.
CNN reporter?
Liberal
commentator Sally Khan slammed on Twitter after calling Sharia law progressive. CNN political commentator and columnist Sally Khan received immediate backlash on Twitter Tuesday, as she posted a controversial tweet about Islamic law. and she herself is a lesbian. The liberal journalist claimed that many peaceful progressive Muslims believe in Sharia law, the legal right. code that guides members of the Islamic state.
Okay, Sharia law, and we have to get, again, we have to be, not to be really picky, but we have to be precise in our language. Sharia law is like saying law. It's Sharia, period. All right, Sharia means Islamic law, which we don't need to, it's Sharia, that's all, but people will say I'm being picky. But yeah, so she's a lesbian.
From London. And
which is relevant, by the way.
It's very relevant because it's a blueprint for what's happening here and what's going to continue to happen here. There was a Fox News report I saw today where a University of Houston student who tweeted, "Forget Black Lives Matter, all lives matter," was disciplined.
Yep.
Was suspended from the being president of the school board and made to take diversity classes for a social media post that said all lives matter.
Look, the criminalization of thoughts, the criminalization of Christian ideology, of conservative ideology and socialist conservatism, this is all under attack. We are under attack by these globalists, by these Muslims. And notice notice these globalists put Muslims in charge. And, you know, the Queer Lives Matter. Yes, there is such a thing. Queer Lives Matter. Those people are bolstering up these Muslims, and in the end, they're going to be victims. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. Hagman and Hagman, it's the place to be. Global Star Radio Network, it's the place to be. YouTube, your official YouTube channel, it's the place to be. Subscribe to Hagman and Hagman. The official Hagman and Hagman Report. Subscribe there. Go to HagmanandHagman.com. Click on the link to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out daily HagmanReport.com for news information, important announcements, or social feed. But that sounds like a funny word. Social. Our social networking sites, Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, we're on there until we're not going to be on there any longer. We're using the mechanism of the beast as best we can to spread the truth until we're shut up and shut down. And there are many people trying to do just that. We want to thank each and every one of you out there for supporting us, for being a beacon of truth in your own venues, in your own lives. Thank you so much, and thank you for being part of our lives. This is something, this program is something we don't take lightly. We take it with an amazing amount of seriousness. We approach this with sobriety, and we want to thank you for being part of our extended family. Thank each and every one of you for being with us, not just this broadcast, but every night, every broadcast that we do. And we are attempting as best we can to spread the word, spread the truth, and to get the mainstream media, the captured corporate Illuminati mass mind-controlled mass media out of your programming. Because once you do, the freedom that is consequential to that is amazing. And I would urge everyone, you know, don't be captive to your... Don't be plugged in all the time. Don't be captive to the news headlines. Don't be captive to the electronic devices that we have become so reliant to use, and I refuse to use many. Go out, take a walk with your wife, with your dog, with your wife and dog. I wasn't going to say that, Eric. No. I'm getting stuff in my ear here. See, he's telling me things, voices in my head. Let's put this in perspective, because this is not a sprint. This is a marathon that we're running here. And for those of you who think that this is a sprint, well, again, good luck with that, because I hope we can make it to the finish line. But thank you. Thank you for being part of our lives, and thank you for trusting us with a most sober and sobering task. And that's to cut through the BS to bring you the news that matters, the information that matters, the information through both a Christian perspective and a conservative, socially conservative, morally conservative, righteous in my view, constitutionally accurate view. Kind of old school in a way. But thank you. Thank you all. But a lot more things to get into. Top of the hour, Stan Dale from standale.com will be joining us. And now Holly is going to be joining us as well. I have to double check. I sent you the email, Joe. Did you? When is Holly coming on?
I have no idea. This is the first that I'm hearing about it.
Such is our communication system here at the Hagman & Hagman studio. Okay. Yeah, well. So, I can't wait for that. Holly Dale will be coming on in a broadcast to talk about her book, Prophetic Barrels. So, that's going to be exciting when that happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. We're going to get into some things this half hour. I got a number of stories that are important. I want to touch on this first. This was on Breitbart today, and I read through this, and this is pretty interesting. President Obama, homeless women in shelters must shower with men.
There you go. Now it's a party.
Rules by President Barack Obama's Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, will require officials at homeless shelters to let men who say they are transgender into the same bedrooms, toilets, and showers as homeless women. The rules are gone over by this gay advocacy organization who supports the transgender ideology, which insists that government must use its power to minimize legal and civic recognition of the differences between men and women. According to David Stacey, Government Affairs Director at the Human Rights Campaign, the new rules maintain that transgender women are women regardless of whether they were born male. That, according to The Hill from this Breitbart article. And from there, it says if you're a transgender woman and you walk into a homeless shelter and they treat you like a man, it's traumatizing. For the man who wants to be a woman, the activist added, these people are already vulnerable, they're homeless, they don't have a job to face discrimination, and the entire time there is a real problem. The new homeless shelter rule comes on the heels of Obama's new Fair Housing Act, which has ruled that felons can't be denied a rental apartment based on their criminal history. And the article goes on to talk, but the Housing Act also notes prospective renters cannot be denied because of their race, religion, or gender. So despite the lack of any clarification from Congress or the courts, many of Obama's deputies are declaring that a group's refusal to accept a person's claim about their preferred sex is legally equivalent to discrimination against people because of their actual biological sex. And so, regulators now want to extend the transgender coverage to government-funded homeless shelters. Operators of shelters worry that being forced to treat transgender men as women will create a dangerous situation for homeless women who seek shelters, in many cases, to escape abusive relationships. And that is just crazy to hear.
Hold on a second, because well, let's go back in time for a moment. Let's go back to September 21st of 2004. That's right. Joe Sobran. Do you know who Joe Sobran is? He's a writer. Bandit Free Republic, by the way. The beacon of conservatism. Let's see. Back in 2004, Sobran wrote an article called Equality Run Amok. And I want everyone to think about this. He wrote back in 04, September 21, he said, in a recent column, I made an observation about the vocal, quote, gay community that may bear amplification. No. He, too, had taken issue to the word gay in place of homosexual, as we have. There is no gay by definition, it's homosexual, and let's be clear on that. That's going to be a rule of the show. I'm putting my size 11 down. Boom. On one hand, he writes, these advocates tell us, us presumptive straights, he writes. I love how he... it's just... yeah. That people's sexual orientation should be of no concern to us. But then they turn around and tell us that their orientation is the most important thing in their world to them. You see, it's the very source of their identity and a matter of pride. Well, so it should matter to us not at all, though it means everything to them. But isn't what a man considers an all-important fact about himself something other people should take into account when dealing with him? Sobran asks. Interesting, isn't it? Serious Christians consider their religion the most important thing in their lives. Folks, do you? Your belief in God? I think you do. The defining fact of their existence, of our existence, this Sobran wrote this back in 04. They don't say non-Christians should regard this as a trivial fact about them. That would be nonsense. And he's right, isn't he? Okay, now, furthermore, the gays, and writes Sobran, ahead of his time, I believe, in parenthetically, as distinct from quiet homosexuals, furthermore, the gays make demands on the rest of us that require us to take notice of them, such as their current clamor for redefining marriage to include same-sex unions, a change whose ramifications for all of us would be vast and unpredictable. Again, think about the year 2004. We are still supposed to regard their orientation as insignificant to us, he asks. Such minorities, gays, being only one example, want it both ways. They complain about the way they're perceived, and as if they'd prefer to be invisible, yet they try to create new, highly visible, and of course, totally favorable perceptions of themselves. And we saw this, folks, during the 90s, especially during the 90s, didn't we? With the explosion of gay television or homosexual television. Now, these are my words. Homosexual television programs, Will and Grace, the social programming. Oh, yes. Make homosexuals appear to be many, vast numbers, and make them appear to be superior. And give them favorable light at any and all times. But so back to Sobran, he writes, they want to supplant the negative stereotypes with what they call positive images. And we saw this again during that period of time, running up to and including the decade of the first decade of the 21st century. Now, he writes, the colorblind liberalism of the last generation insisted that the ethnic differences shouldn't matter. The civil rights era taught us with endless and eloquent propaganda that race was an utterly unscientific concept, even though it was transpiring that racial distinctions weren't just social conventions. Some diseases struck blacks but not whites, and Jews but non-Jews. Anyway, here's what I'm getting at. I'm getting at this. His questions include such things as I went through his writings. Isn't what a man considers an all-important fact about himself something other people should take into account when dealing with him? Are some groups exempt from the principles of equal rights and equal treatment under law? In other words, what he's saying is you can't have it both ways like the democratic socialist liberals want it. You just can't have it both ways. And there was a column that he referenced, The Metaphysics of the Bathroom by Robert Riley. Actually, it wasn't a column, it was a book that had part of it. Well, it was, let me go back here. he referenced a column titled The Metaphysics of the Bathroom by Robert R. Riley about the transgender bathroom debate. Now, this goes back, only a couple of months from today, back in June of 2016. But this references all the run-up to the clamor, or all the clamor that has been run up to today. You see, when you redefine gender, you can't redefine gender. You can mutilate someone's gender, but you cannot redefine it. You can say you're a girl all day long or a female all day long while having a man's plumbing, and you can only mutilate yourself but not redefine yourself through that mutilation. The dirty little secret is there is no such thing as transsexuals. There are people who have been mutilated, and via this mutilation, or transgendered, and through this mutilation process, believe them to be something they were not born to be. It's a lie, straight from the pits of hell. But it's at the epicenter of the argument that has a lot to do with the bathrooms and with these special rights granted to these people. But they too, as we had talked about earlier in a closer look with the London mayor, you see, this is only going to be tolerated for so long. The hate speech against the transgendered, against the transsexuals, as they define themselves, or the perverse sexually mutilated, will in fact become hate speech, but so will talk about that very same issue from a Christian perspective, thereby wiping out the Christian angle altogether, and the globalists getting exactly what they want, and that is to muzzle Christians, to criminalize Christianity, criminalize talk about Christianity. That's the end game here. That's what it's all about. And one single religion, and that is based on this Islamic subtext, at least as the enforcement arm, to usher in this new world, this one world religion. And it's a state religion based on what? Worship of the state, worship of the earth as well, worship of the small gods. It's the old world religion, just as it is the old world order. But think about what's taking place here. You've got an Islamic mayor rising to power, elected supposedly by the people in London, who is, in the closer look segment, of course, going after any kind of crimes, hate speech on social networking sites and in the comment sections on news sites, finding these people, penalizing them, criminalizing them, arresting them. It's coming here to America. Say something against a Muslim, bang, you're going to get arrested. You say something against someone who mutilates their genitalia because they feel like the opposite sex, you're going to get arrested. Up is down, perverse is normal. But see, that's only going to last for so long, until the tentacles of this Islamic enforcement arm becomes secularized. And the big picture is this. In a flash, in an instant, it's going to change. And the people who wore their sexual identity on their sleeve and were protected from such hate speech will in fact suffer the consequences of their actions through the enforcers themselves. This is just a mere sidestep in the larger picture that we're presented with. It's important for you to understand where this is all headed. We could talk all day long about the refugees and Merkel and Clinton and Soros. These are some sick, sick people. Sick people. If you even want to call them people. It's the destruction of Western culture, Western society, and Christian thought and Christian heritage. That's what this is all about. That's the larger sense. Or the larger picture.
Got some financial news. You touched on this at the beginning of the program. Global central banks are unloading American debt. For the first 6 months of this year, foreign central banks sold $192 billion of U.S. Treasury bonds, more than double the pace at the same period last year when they sold $83 billion. China, Japan, France, Brazil, and Colombia led the pack of countries dumping U.S. debt. It's the largest sell-off of U.S. debt since 1978, according to the Treasury Department data. Net selling of U.S. notes and bonds year-to-date through June is historic. That's from a chief market analyst at the Lindsay Group, Peter Bukovar. But it goes on to state that this is a... something that you need to keep an eye on, as the sell-off is a sign of pockets weakening in the global economy. From low oil prices to China's economic slowdown, the currency's losing value are all weighing down global growth, which the IMF described as fragile earlier in the year. Now, despite all these countries selling the debt, private demand for the bonds have skyrocketed, according to the Treasury Department. And demand is so high, the U.S. can afford to pay historically low interest rates. The 10-year U.S. Treasury hit a record low of 1.34% earlier this year before bouncing back to 1.58% currently. Now, this global dumping of U.S. Treasuries will continue, especially if the Trans-Pacific Partnership is realized and put into law, as Obama has been campaigning for himself and his own Trans-Pacific Partnership deal through the heartland of America, according to Politico. And he made some interesting remarks as he's taking the flight for the TPP trade deal to America's streets, directly countering the Donald Trump narrative, and they say increasingly the Hillary Clinton anti-TPP narrative, which is a whole nother area of subject because she's flip-flopped on this issue many times. But they say the White House is making an all-out push to win passage of the deal in the lame duck session of Congress, organizing 30 events over the congressional recess to gin up support for the agreement.
Yep.
Considered key to Obama's strategy and legacy, and they say in this article, to counter China in the Asia-Pacific region. The strategy is to offer support and cover the small flock of Democrats who supported the legislation to fast-track the deal and remind wavering Republicans that they oppose it at their own peril because of its strong business support. Despite his embrace of Clinton, Obama has been unwilling to abandon a deal that he regards as central to his legacy, simply to avoid political fallout from her campaign. Although Clinton came out against the deal last fall, she supported it while sitting Secretary of State, making her vulnerable to attacks. And Obama says this, "Well, right now I'm president, and I'm for it," he said at a news conference earlier this month, "and I think I've got a better argument. I've made this argument before, and I'll make it again. We are part of a global economy. We are not reversing that."
Well,
very interesting choice of words.
In the sign of the times, as we're closing out this hour, sign of the times, Marco Rubio. You know, if you've been following these people, these are the people that you've elected, put in office, and are saying, oh, and are being embraced by Christian conservatives. Marco Rubio is being one of them. He's telling pastors to abandon any spirit of judgment. Don't judge gay people. Well, okay. I understand you've got to approach everything in the spirit of love, but Florida Senator Marco Rubio told pastors, now he's not talking to the average person out there. He's talking to pastors. He's telling pastors in this Rediscovering God in Orlando, which you should look into that, folks. that loving gay people instead of judging them is a fulfillment of the teachings of the Bible rather than something that goes against it. Now, we understand that you love one another as you love yourself. You love your neighbor as yourself. We get that. It doesn't matter what your sexual proclivities, preferences are.
But you don't love the evil agenda. You don't embrace or support the evil.
But Rubio is out there telling pastors, you don't sit, or you don't judge the sin, basically. You've got no right to judge the sin. In other words, Rubio, and you've got to distill this for what it is, and understand how the mainstream media, how the Illuminati-controlled mass media is framing this. It's incorrect framing. The mainstream media is saying, well, Rubio is just saying, we all should just not criticize or judge the people who identify with the homosexual acts. No, what Rubio is telling the pastors, you ought not to be preaching the gospel in your churches. That's what the mainstream media is not telling the people. This is what Rubio is saying, basically. You must not preach the word of God because you will offend those people who are homosexuals, and you don't want to offend homosexuals. You see, you've got to read through the fog and disinformation of the mainstream media, the captured mass media, understand what this is all about. And folks, I mean, these are word games that are being played. Rubio, the darling of many, a presidential hopeful, I don't know how, based on the Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States, how anyone consider him a presidential hopeful based on constitutional eligibility of, by birth, Article 1, Section 2. But nonetheless, but he's telling pastors you should stay away from those passages in the Bible that would offend your homosexual parishioners. I could distill that down into that one sentence or two sentences, but that is the social conservative aspect of today. This is the meeting between the social conservatives and the moral conservatives and the Christian pastors, and it's important to bring this out. It's important to understand this particular. It's very important to understand this particular agenda. Understand what's going on here. We're all being lied to.
Yep. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Stan Deo. Folks, go to standeo.com. Check out the show images section on the right-hand side of the microphone. If you scroll down on the right-hand side of his page. And he will be coming on talking about a number of issues from earthquakes that are happening around the world to the Turkey, Russia, China, Syria alliance. The Islamic Military Alliance is a separate alliance he's talking about that intertwines the same countries as well as other things, where you can find all this information right on his site, standeo.com, and the floods in Louisiana, the 1-in-1,000-year storm. He's going to be getting into that as well as other topics of discussion and taking phone calls right at the end. Stay with us.